Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the Making Money Simple podcast. Today I'm joined by Mr. Avo from at Mr. Avocado on Instagram. How are you doing today, mate?
I'm doing very well, Ryan. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Glad to have you on the podcast. Long overdue.
I'm excited to be on the podcast. I listen to it often. It's a very good show.
So today we have got a chat about money discipline. So it's quite a broad topic, but we are going to go into a few things such as opportunity cost, instant versus delayed gratification, talking about lifestyle inflation, and essentially how you can be sensible and disciplined with your money to get the most out of it. I wanted to hand it straight over to you, Mr. Avo, as I know you've got a good quote for us to kickstart this episode.
Absolutely right. I've got my favorite quote, and it's a bit sad, but well, I've made a post about this quote. I also frequently comment this quote on other people's posts. So
nice.
It's not even my quote, but it's a good one. So when I think about discipline, not just in relation to money, but in relation to many other aspects of life, I think this is a great quote to follow. It's from Abraham Lincoln, and he said something like, discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. So discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. I think that's really
that's sort of linking into the whole delayed versus instant gratification piece when it comes to talking about managing your money.
Exactly. Talking about making choices, the choices that we have every single day, right? And they're little choices, I find, but there's also these huge, huge temptations which we have and we give in to sometimes, and we don't realize that we could be taken away from putting that money somewhere else, which could heavily benefit us in the future.
So what sort of things are you talking about? Because I know you yourself are a fan of avocado toast. Would that be one of the bad choices that people make on a daily basis?
You got me there. Yeah. You got me there. So I guess I'm kind of being counterintuitive to my blog, which so if you haven't been on the Mr. Avocado page, it's all about the fact.
Definitely check it out. Great page. Great infographics up
there. Check it out. Yeah, it's brilliant. If I do say so myself. But it's basically following the message that just because we millennials like to spend a little bit more on these small luxuries like coffees and avocado toasts doesn't mean that we shouldn't be able to afford our first properties. And there's many other reasons why we often struggle to get on the property ladder. For example, property prices have increased massively over the last ridiculous. Two decades, and definitely not in line with pay inflation. That's a key reason, which is rarely cited by other generations when they look at millennials, but that's not what we're here to talk about. Focusing on your question, it is those things, to be honest. It is the avocado toasts, which are the little things which we often give into now and don't, I guess, pay attention to how those little daily expenses could add up in the future. Avocado toast every weekend, I think, is fine, right?
Yeah.
But one which many of us, an expense which many of us make, which may take away from potential benefit in the future, is those daily coffees. I don't know about you, Ryan, but when I was in the office at work, right, I would often, this is a few years ago when I guess I wasn't as financially healthy.
Savvy,
that's the one. Savvy's a good word. Yeah, as I am now. But, you know, I'd buy a coffee every day. And in London, that's like, £3.20
for a cappuccino. Get lunch. That's a tenner gone.
Shit, yeah. Yeah, get lunch. Yeah. That's a tenner.
I actually remember I did like one of my first blog posts ever, I think, about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Was literally how if you did buy, say, a meal deal and a coffee every day in London, then that would rack up to more than £1,000 a year. And it's sort of quite a good quote, which is a small hole can leak a big ship. And that is sort of the thing when it comes to them daily expenditures, how. And I think it's quite interesting. I'll go into it in a bit more detail in a sec. But I think it is, if you are sort of doing it consistently every day, it builds up, and then out of nowhere, over the course of a few years, you've spent thousands and thousands of pounds that obviously you could have used to invest into side of nicer, could have put into your pension, could have even saved and gone on a holiday, you know? So it's exactly. Definitely an interesting chat.
Exactly. There's so many other things you could have done with that money, right? And if we keep it to a round number, let's say that we spend £10 a day on coffee, lunches and all of that stuff, then in a year you're basically spending £3,650. I count weekends because I'm just going to say, I don't know, we went to a bar and bought a drink or you got a taxi or something like that, and that's extra money that spending on little pleasures every single day, but how much is that going to benefit your future? Maybe not massively. Yeah,
and the crazy thing about that is to spend, say, $3,500 in that example, you probably, that's like obviously your net pay after tax. So you would have had to earn, say, $5,000 to then actually have them daily expenditures of like coffees and meal deals and stuff. But so like I read a book recently called I Will Teach You to Be Rich. It's a very good book. It's sort of like, I guess, a beginner's guide to personal finance that covers budgeting, credit cards, as well as investing.
Yeah.
And personally, I don't actually really drink coffee. I drink quite a lot of tea, but not really coffee. So I never would really buy daily coffees. Yeah. And I guess it's one of the things where I couldn't understand why people did. Because I think, well, £3, £4, £5 a day, just wait till you get to the office and get a coffee. But then the same, this book sort of emphasizing that it's more important to focus on the big things like mortgages, your car payment, which I know we'll get onto in a bit later on in terms of opportunity cost. But that was like a lesson I learned where I used to look at, I think the whole like daily, you know, daily coffee, weekly avocado toast, it's quite an easy thing you probably could cut back on. But then if it provides you like, if it makes you happy and it's, I guess, giving you motivation to carry on doing what you're doing, whether it's like working, trying to like invest. And as long as you've hit them sort of investing goals first, you're saving what you want to save every month. Then if you do treat yourself to little things daily basis or on a weekly basis, I think it's actually okay. I don't know what you would think about that. Because I know, as you mentioned, your page is sort of like saying you can do them sort of millennial, can spend like a millennial and still hit the big goals. But at the same point in time, there obviously is an opportunity cost of spending that money. So it's sort of like, yeah, I'm sort of split down the middle, to be honest with you. And I think you got to just try and find a balance at the end of the day where you are enjoying these little niceties of life, like a coffee or an avocado toast at the weekend, but then are still like hitting your investing goals and your saving goals.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And I think this is a message which I see often on your page, right? Making money simple, but sometimes it's more important to focus on how you can increase the top line, so how much you're bringing in, rather than how much is going out the door via your expenses. I think that's what you're trying to say there. And I absolutely agree with that, right? But I think the debate around instant gratification versus delayed gratification, it's almost a psychological thing as well. And I guess those small habits which you can cut out, maybe if you do that, you're teaching yourself to be a bit more disciplined when it comes to the larger purchases as well. So you spoke about the car payments and stuff like that. That's a huge one, right? Feeling the need to get some flashy car on £350 a month. And then
insane.
And then if you stuck that into a Hargreaves Lansdown shout out compound interest calculator, and you looked at the returns you would get from £350 a month in a I don't know, in a Vanguard index fund over 10 years, you'd be shocked, right? Looking at the difference.
Tens, if not hundreds of thousands of pounds you could have had.
It's ridiculous. And talking about books, I read one recently called Atomic Habits by James Clear.
I've heard so much about that book and it's on my book list that I need to read. I assume it's a very good book, right?
it's brilliant. It's really good. And it's really relevant right now, I think. To the way people think about their finances, and also I guess our generation, right? I think we love instant gratification, and I think personally that comes from a lot of the technologies and the social medias which we use. That feeling,
social media is a massive one, isn't it?
It's a massive one. That feeling of, say, posting a tweet or posting an Insta picture and wanting a like instantly, it kind of programs you to need that gratification straight away. And James Clear in Atomic Habits, I guess, he speaks about, again, the need to be disciplined, to build good habits, which allow you to delay gratification and see the value in delaying gratification.
I was going to say, that whole Instagram likes and all of that sort of stuff then also links into money, where when people get paid, they immediately want to go out and buy a pair of trainers or buy a designer bag, which... of course, you've got to treat yourself, but that's just obviously instant gratification. Where if you had delayed that and invested that money into an index fund or saved up to where you can get a property and rent out a room, one day, that if you delay your gratification, hopefully your assets and your passive income streams can then literally buy you unlimited assets, so you can get instant gratification every day if you wanted to, because you've built up your pass, because you built up your passive income streams today.
Yeah, and that's where we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to a place where you don't need it now. You think about it and you decide that you don't need it now. Going to wait, put that money to better use, to value generating use. And then at some point in the future, as you say, you've built enough net assets and valuable assets that you almost automatically make.
Because do what you want.
Yeah, do what you want. You know, go out and buy as much avocado toast as you want because you can. You've earned the right because you made smart decisions earlier on. But I just want to pick up on a word you used just before, which was balance. And I think that's absolutely key, right? Mm. Like, I often try and give good financial guidance, but I also try and promote the need to find that balance in your life where you're making smart decisions to restrict bad spending, but you're also enjoying yourself, because otherwise what's the point of living? Do you know what I mean?
Every decision
is like one which upsets you, I guess.
Yeah, and that's why I think, like, going back to that book that I read, I'll Teach You to Be Rich, he was sort of saying that in terms of balance, it's much more worthwhile to focus on the big things. So as you mentioned, you know, if you're paying £350 for a car a month, that is a lot of money. If you are, you know, buying a house that is bigger than what you actually need, or in an area where you're living just because it's trendy and it costs double the amount, you have a much larger mortgage payment. If you can cut back on them big expenditures, then you can, or even going so far as gutting as it is, missing out on the odd holiday, whether it's like a lad's holiday, a uni holiday, a family holiday, whatever it is. And then you're focusing on the big things. So then them small things that do provide you, I guess, like happiness and joy in the short term, like maybe going out for a few drinks, getting a coffee, eating out for lunch, you can do that more because you've got the big things smashed down. And then, yeah, it's just that balance between nailing the big things, reducing your expenses whilst enjoying the small things day to day. Because as you say, if you're not enjoying yourself day to day and having fun, then sort of what is the point? What is the long-term picture if you're always just going to be counting the pennies every day for the rest of your life?
Exactly. It just makes everything very boring and miserable. So it's all about balance. So, yeah, I appreciate your point around sometimes needing those little bursts of happiness every day. Mm. Keep you striving towards the longer term and bigger goals. I completely understand that. That's why we call it personal finance, right? Because everybody's kind of situation is different. Everybody's priorities are different. You mentioned holidays, maybe the occasional holiday with your mates or your girlfriend or whoever. Maybe that's really important to you to kind of release some steam and stay on track with all of your goals. Mm. So I think everybody just needs to consider their own situation. So everything I post, to be honest, I hope people look at it, read it, process it, but then consider it according to their own needs and goals. I think we all want that, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I do find this like quite difficult, because I feel like when it comes to sort of personal finance, I'm quite clear cut on like quite a few things. Like, I'm a big fan of credit cards. I know some people hate them, but I'm a fan. I think index funds are the best way to invest. I know people use individual stocks or actively managed funds, but I'm pretty sort of set in stone that index funds I think are the best way. But I feel like when it comes to like this whole opportunity cost aspect of, you know, I can on one hand see why people cut out every like bit of spending and keep it to a bare minimum, because then at the end of the day you will achieve financial freedom earlier because you're living frugally. But then on the other hand, I can also see why people do still like, you know, eat out, have fun, go on holiday, even though they're going to achieve it much later, maybe later on, add a few years onto that. But then they're enjoying themselves like in the moment, which is obviously important. And I think you mentioned it, but it is just like personal finance. And I'm sort of in the middle where I do enjoy myself, but then at the same time, I'm still fairly frugal, I'd say, compared to the average person, because I obviously want to achieve financial freedom. And I would say, so I'm sort of in the middle of that whole like money discipline debate where I'm fairly disciplined and I'm aware of what I'm spending my money on. But at the same time, I want to spend it on them things in the short term to like enjoy myself. I don't know where you sort of stand on that spectrum from like cutting out every single coffee to doing what you want and spending recklessly. Probably in the middle as well, I'd imagine.
Probably in the middle. I think you sound like somebody who's kind of found your balance. Like you say, like you consider yourself to be much more frugal than maybe the average person, but you still occasionally invest in the things which make you happy. So I would say that sounds like a good balance. And that's absolutely
big Shaq. Nat West balance meme is coming to mind.
That's got to be your next post. There you go. Shout me out as well.
So in terms of the whole like instant gratification stuff, do you have any sort of ways or techniques to when it comes to money? You know, if you just get paid, how are some ways people can avoid falling prey to instant gratification and just meeting their short-term needs of buying trainers, buying clothes, you know, spending loads of money on nights out?
Yeah.
Is there anything that helps you avoid that so you can like invest and build for the future?
Yeah. I mean, a pandemic, to be honest, has completely stopped me from doing any of that. But in all seriousness, there's loads of things you can do. One of the ones which I do is every month when my income drops, like I have steps which I take to allocate that to the right area on that day. It's almost like some people call it a financial MOT, right? You kind of sit down with your bank balance and you think, okay, how much will I need for my essential expenditure this month? How much will I need to put into my investment account? How much do I want to invest in crypto, maybe? Quite popular at the minute.
Yeah.
Interesting conversation to be had there over delayed gratification, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then how much do I want for fun this month? So, for example, you know, I might sit down with my monthly salary and I might say, well, I need 30% for my essential spend, so for my bills, for my travel, for insurance, all of that kind of stuff. And then I need maybe 20%, which needs to go into my Vanguard index fund, which I'm not going to touch for the next 20 years. Then nice. I need another 20%, which needs to go into my house deposit fund, which I might need later on in the year. So I want that to be easily accessible. And then I might have 10%, which goes into crypto. I've recently started investing in there. And then the remaining percentage, that is my fun money. And that can be used for instant gratification. So you've kind of made the decision up front that you've got a monthly amount, which you can use for these little luxury, in speech marks, purchases. Mm. So that's one way you can do it. Another way, which is just, I guess, at the action point when it comes to the purchase, which you can use is, let's say that I see an ad on Instagram. This happens often, by the way. I see an ad on Instagram for Nike, right? I always see Nike ads and it's like some training shorts or some trainers or something. Can I open it, right? And I open it in Safari and I add it to my basket and I'm like, I really want these like £200 trainers from Nike. What I do now is I just leave it there on the Safari page on my phone for like 24 hours. I do 24 hours. I know other people do 1 week. And then I come back to that page on my phone after 24 hours and I ask myself, do I really want this? You know, I often find...
You don't.
I don't. And it's left the basket. Nike have taken it off the basket and I'm too lazy to go find it. How good is that? How good is that though, right? I'm so lazy.
Perfect for a lazy millennial like
us. Exactly. So it's the advantage of being a millennial. But that just shows you how much I really didn't want that item, that I couldn't even be bothered to go back and find it and type in the name of the trainers in the search bar and put it back in. And it's so powerful, those little things, those little psychological tactics you can use.
I love both of those tips. Like both of them tips, I think, are probably two of the best ways. And I've even heard for that second one of like people freezing their credit cards. So to actually buy something, you have to take it out and defrost it. And then by the time it's defrosted, people similarly can't be bothered to then go onto the website again, add the item to basket, and then pay for it.
That's mad extreme, freezing your credit cards. It's the first time I've heard of that. That's good.
Also, that first one, I did want to touch on that because I think, a lot of sort of not falling prey to instant gratification is what you do on payday. And I've made a couple of like Instagram posts on this before and probably will make a YouTube video on it. But you mentioned, you sort of like alluded to it, but like the two things I'll do on payday is pay myself first. So all that essentially means is putting a set amount of money into savings or into investing. So I'll put some money into my HSBC regular saver, which will one day be used maybe for traveling. If not, it'll go towards a house deposit. And then I'll also then obviously got like my automated payments into my stocks and shares ISA and lifetime ISA set up. So I'm automatically like paying myself first and building for the future. And then also budget, like you said, you have certain buckets of certain percentages, and then whatever you're left after you paid yourself first, after you've budgeted for your, you know, your fixed costs that you have to pay, like rent and maybe travel, probably not so much at the moment, but, and then your variable costs like food and bills, then anything that's left is essentially your fun money. And as you said, that is your instant gratification money that you can then use to go and spend on whatever you want. But obviously the key is there, you've like paid yourself first, you've got all paid all your necessary expenses, and then with that money that's left, you should be rewarding yourself and, you know, using it for something that's fun. And another sort of extra tip just here at the end, I would say, is actually writing goals down. Mm-hmm. And actually having them written down physically on like a post-it note or a bit of paper that you see regularly. Because if, you know, you think you want to retire by, I don't know, 40 years old, or you want to have £1 million stock market portfolio by 35, if you have that on your mind constantly, then you're going to scrutinize a lot of purchases you, or a lot of decisions you make, because you're so determined to hit that goal.
That's so powerful. Yeah, so you've got to have the goal in mind, because that's what gives you motivation, right? When you can see that, I don't know, the beautiful house you want in central London or whatever it may be, that gives you that mental power when you're looking at those night trainers to say, do you know what, these would make me fairly happy for a couple of months, but what I really want is that house, or whatever your purchase goal may be. That's really, really, really powerful. And I think I think what you're saying there is it's important to plan, right? And people often underestimate the power of a budget. But I would say that my worst spending periods came when I just wasn't budgeting. I wasn't looking at my money, definitely. Wasn't looking at my bank accounts, wasn't writing it down. I was just spending basically whatever came in was going straight out the door. So budgeting is, it gets boring how often we talk about it, but it is, because it's just so powerful. It's just such
it's a so key thing to and do. And it's so easy. You can set up literally one tab of a Google Sheet. In 5 minutes, you can put in your net income minus your rent, your bills, your food, and then you, and whatever you want to save and invest. And then you've got then left, say, like your £200 a month, you can then use whatever you want, or whatever amount it is left over. So I agree. I think budgeting is very powerful. But yeah, I think that's quite good then, because at the end of the podcast here, we're giving people free actionable things they can do to help themselves advice, not fall prey to instant gratification. So you got payday, setting yourself up for success. You got writing your goals down, and also waiting 24 hours or even a week, or even freezing your credit card to essentially not just buy them impulse purchases and actually think them through. But yeah, thank you for coming on, Mr. Abba. It's been a very interesting discussion. I like how this one has flowed.
Very good, yeah.
And if you want to plug here at the end, I know you got people can find you on Instagram at Mr. Avocado. Great page, great infographics being put up on a weekly basis.
Absolutely. Check out the page. There'll be many more tips and discussions as you've heard here. And I'm looking forward to seeing many more people on the page.
Nice one. Thank you for coming on, Mr. Avo. It's been a pleasure, mate.
Thanks, Ryan. You take care.